Well, welcome once again. Tonight we're going to look at some of the promises from God Almighty. I've handed out cards, 7 promises to people in the room here, and each one, turn by turn, are going to read the promise, and then we're going to kind of speak on what the promise is. I've took notes on every one of these verses, so even if no one has anything, I do. So, the first promise from God is in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 2. And number one is Cecilia. So, will you want to hand over the mic, please?
Oh, yes.
I want people to hear this. And hold the mic down in your stomach area.
Okay. Oh, good. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as
what?
The world.
No, that's not the verse. It's John 14:2.
That's what it says here.
Okay.
What do you?
Go ahead. It starts with in my Father's house.
No.
John chapter 14, verse 2.
Thank you. I'm a little blind. In my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you.
Thank you. So what is that verse saying, or what do you get from that verse?
I get that he's saving a place for us in heaven.
Right. The comment is simply stating that there's ample room and permanent housing for all believers. Spiritual abundance of places. There's not a shortage of space, rooms, or what have you. Preparing this place for his disciples, his followers, and that's you and I.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Promise number 2, 1 Corinthians 10:13.
Jenny? 1
Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it.
Right. You want to make a comment on that verse, how it touches your heart?
Yeah, it touches my heart because I think the way to escape is to pray and wait for the answer. And this happened to me the other day. I was at the gas station and I couldn't open my gas tank lid. And I tried all kinds of pushes to get it open. And even this gentleman came and wanted to help me. He thought there was a lever inside the car. And I said, no, this is a newer car. All you have to do is push it. So he said, well, sorry. And so I was getting pretty frustrated because I'm parked in the gas station. And so I prayed. I put my hands together real quick. I said, well, the only way to get out of this is pray. So then I went back. And I used 2 hands, and it opened.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank God.
Yeah. The temptation for you in that situation would have been to get so frustrated that you said, the heck with this. But you compose yourself because of that Holy Spirit that's within you, that you have access to the Father for his help. Mm-hmm. So God bless your heart, Judy. The note I have on this one is the temptation or trials, which is either or in your case, we face are not unique. They are common to mankind and have been experienced by others throughout history. The verse emphasizes God's faithfulness. He is trustworthy and dependable in his promises to us. Amen. Yeah. So number three, promises from God, is Galatians 3:22. Who has that one?
I do.
Okay. Galatians 3:22.
So Galatians 3:22, but the scripture have concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So the way that I'm reading this, because I didn't read the context, but I suppose it has to do with we were all under sin, but God promised that he would redeem us from the law, and we will be able to be part of God's family and have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a promise of God, and he did it by belief.
Right.
So by believing in Jesus Christ, we are born again and are now of the family of God. That's the way I...
You're there because I work these verses, and this one is, it says, this law, as you brought up, by demonstrating our helplessness, serves as a crucial purpose. It prepares us to receive God's promise of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. This promise is a gift of grace, not of something earned by our works or obedience to the law, because we are in the administration of what?
Grace.
Grace. The law was there. It points to sin. It caused you. It's like the speed limit sign. But we are in the administration of grace, right? Not to say that in heaven there are no speed limits. You go as fast as you want. But God's grace is what helps us out.
It's
right?
By believing and not by works.
So,
And in Jesus Christ is a big part of this. So the next promise is in 1 Thessalonians 5:24.
Mm-hmm. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it."
1 Thessalonians 5:24?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
It's a good promise.
Yeah, I don't have that here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. I have a different 5:24.
1 Thessalonians 5.
Yeah.
24.
Huh. Okay.
Are you sure you're not looking at second?
No. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. I have faithful is he that calleth you also will do
it. It's just a different translation.
Yeah, okay. That's
he
what you're
who
doing.
Calls you is faithful,
right.
Who also will do it.
Yes, okay.
So
okay.
God has called each one of us,
mm-hmm.
and he assures us that he is faithful, and he will perform what he has said he will do.
There's
and we
nothing.
Can't have any greater
joy
than to know that.
And our expectation is in him.
That's right.
So God is faithful to his word and his promises, assuring believers that they can trust him to complete his work. God's faithfulness is a foundation of our salvation. So thank you, Jeannie, for that one. Another wonderful promise that we can all trust in and count on every day. Okay, promise number five. We're going to find this one in 1 Timothy 4:8.
1 Timothy 4:8.
Mm-hmm.
For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come.
Right.
And that's walking out our life in relationship with him so we can walk godly. And it makes us prepared to be in glory.
Right. Paul did not negate the importance of physical exercise, but rather cautioned against an excessive focus on it, encouraging Christians to prioritize spiritual development. And another verse that runs along with this one, if you want to go to it, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25. I want to read this verse out of the NLT. 1 Corinthians 9:25. It says, all athletes are disciplined. We all know that, especially those of us who have participated in a sport. Right, Bob?
That's right.
All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. Amen? Okay. Number six, we've got the promise from God. Number six is going to be in Hebrews. And Hebrews chapter 8. And when you get to chapter 8, look at verse 6. Hebrews 8, 6.
But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises.
Amen.
So this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And looks like in the context there, in the previous verse, he mentions Moses was admonished by God. And Moses was known for the law. But now we have a more excellent ministry because of what Jesus did. He was the mediator for this better covenant, and it was established on better promises.
Amen. Jesus stands as the mediator between God and humanity for this new covenant, which is superior to the old Mosaic covenant. The new covenant is founded on the better, more profound promises, such as eternal life and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, compared to the conditional, often earthly blessings of the old covenant. So, it's a big deal. It really is. And again, it's another promise from our Heavenly Father. And when God gives a promise, nothing's going to stop it. And we can be assured that it will happen. We just have to go to His Word to find out some of those wonderful promises that are for you and I. Okay, number seven. This one we're going to find at the very end in Revelation. It's chapter 3 and verse 5. Revelation 3, 5. Tom?
He that overcometh, the same shall be
here. Oh.
Thanks, Bob.
He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Well, that is the Old Testament. I mean, Old Testament. That's Revelation. That's way right in the future. But hey, I'm looking forward to the white raiment. if I get clothed with white raiment, I'll take it. And he's, you know, we are in the book of life, so that's a wonderful phrase. I love that phrase. We are in the book of life.
The note I took down from this is a promise of security and honor for faithful believers. The book of life is God's heavenly record of those chosen for eternal life. This promise reassures believers that their names are permanently written in heaven and can never be erased, signifying eternal life. So, those are just seven of the promises of God. And like I said, there are many, many more. And if you want to have a little fun of something that's real, look up the promises in God's Word. There's many, many. And some of them, it's right there in the verse. Some, you read the context, or it's been used before, like we saw one. But of all the garbage the world piles on us, or their promises which are conditional. We've got God's promises. Because of His grace, they're going to happen. Because of His grace, they're towards you and I. Because of His grace, we don't have to try and earn them. God says, here you go, my children. So I trust that these promises that we looked at tonight will bless you. You can hang on to the card that you have. And maybe we'll look at some more in the future. But it really was hard for me to narrow it down to seven because there were so many. But it was still fun to see the others also. So, gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for your promises in your word that are there for a reason. And that's to bless us, Father, assuring us that they will come to pass or that you can do them and you are doing them. So I thank you for each person here that their hearts are filled with joy receiving your promises, Father, and that we can be your disciples and have people follow Jesus Christ to these promises and other magnificent and just mind-blowing things in your word. And so, Father, I just pray for our sleep tonight, that it's a sweet sleep and that we can reflect on these and just everything you do, Father. At the very least, as we lay and pillow our heads, we can speak in tongues, Father, until we do fall asleep with great expectation for our rest. And if our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tarries, a great, great day tomorrow. So I thank you, Father, for giving us purpose in our lives. In Jesus' name, and they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Fellowship.